This is Sportsnet Today with Logan Gordon and Julian McKenzie on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
All right, it is hour two on a Thursday. Sportsnet Today live from the Doug Lacey's Basement Systems downtown studios. For our friends at Doug Lacey's Basement Systems, worried about radon? They install custom mitigation systems to reduce your risk. To find out more, visit dlbasementsystems.com for a free estimate. All things Calgary Flames in hour one with myself and Julian McKenzie. Dan Vladar is done for the rest of the regular season with hip surgery. It's Jacob Markstrom and Dustin Wolf, down the stretch for the Calgary Flames.
Still got Dan Vladar on the brain.
He's
man.
On the brain. I can't shake him. We heard from Jacob Markstrom, Dustin Wolf, and head coach Ryan Huska, all in hour one, along with our thoughts on the goaltending tandem going forward for the Calgary Flames. So if you missed any of it, check us out on the Hour One podcast, Google, Amazon, Spotify, or your favorite podcatcher. Still to come here in hour two, we'll take a look at a busy NHL schedule on this Thursday. 11 games on tap tonight, including a couple on Sportsnet, so we'll dive into that. But right now, kicking off hour two in style, Julian, one of our favorite conversations of the week. We head down the Atlas Beach and Sports Bar guest hotline to welcome in the man, the myth, the legend from MLB Network and the Cinephile podcast. It's Adnan Virk joining us on this Thursday. AV, how are you, sir?
Logo, Julian, a pleasure as always, fellas. March Madness begins. It's always a fun day to be at home watching the games, although not sure the weather in Calgary. A little chilly here in Jersey, +5 degrees. Normally I feel like, you know, we're starting to turn around to spring, but not quite yet. But fun to watch some basketball during the day today.
No, here in Calgary, we're in second winter here. We had a stretch of really nice weather, like +12, +15 for a couple of days. In the last 2 days, we just got hammered with snow again, and we're right back into a winter
literally
wonderland.
On the first day of spring, like literally there are like videos going around on TikTok and Facebook of like, oh, last day of winter and it's beautiful, it's sunny outside, you can pull out the terrasse, as we say in Quebec, or patios, you guys all say, and then the first day of spring, snow. I don't like it, Adnan.
It's a killer, fellas. Whenever there's snow in mid to late March, it just doesn't feel right. I mean, and you guys know this. You might get hit with snow in the first week of April. Who knows? I mean, God willing, it doesn't happen. But, yeah, that's not – first day of spring is an aberration. Hopefully we'll get through it.
Are you a big March Madness guy? Was it always on your radar? Was it bigger when you went to the United States to work sports full-time? Or where have you kind of always come down on March Madness?
Good question, Logo. So, ironically – I was always a fan. The great David Amber, my old buddy from TSN days, would invite me over to, not his place, but he's got a buddy named Sugar. They call it Shea Sugar's house. So Craig Forrest, remember the great Canadian goalie?
He was yes, there, sir. Buddies.
He had the star power. So, yeah, I texted one of my buddies today. I said, you're going to Amber's for Shea Sugar? I believe that's taking place tomorrow. But that was always something fun to be a part of, and those guys would like to get after it. And then what happened was when I was at the score in 09, they sent me to the March Madness, which was in Detroit. And I remember that Final Four was amazing because Michigan State had a storybook run. I have to look it up. I believe they were an 8 or 9 seed. And it was really a tough time for Detroit and Michigan in general with the economic crisis and depression of 08, 09. So it was a great storybook season for Michigan State and the run they're on. But I'll never forget, they went to that final game and no one expected them to be there. And they were facing North Carolina with Tyler Hansbrough and company. And North Carolina just put the boots to them. Like, it was like 11-2 out of the gate and so much of the storybook ending.
Damn.
But one of the cool moments, and I haven't done a ton of reporting, as you guys know, I mainly anchor. But as a reporter, I remember that crowd when Izzo first came out giving a thumbs up to them. Like, it was amazing. It was deafening how good it was. And like I said, North Carolina took over after that. But, yeah, it was. I had a good Final Four experience then. And, of course, being Canadian, we always look at it and say, oh, look, you know, there's every year it's like there's more Canadians being featured in March Madness. So we always have reason to cheer, even if it's a bunch of U.S. colleges that none of us could spot in the map.
I was about to say, with regards to U.S. colleges, who's your school?
Well, it's funny, Julie, I don't really have one, which is funny because, you know, normally we have at least one nominally. You know, you just have a team that you root for, you cheer for. So myself, you know, I it was almost like out of default Syracuse just because.
Yeah, let's go. Yes.
Yeah, you know, But Kingston is like 2 hours from Syracuse, where I grew up in Ontario, right? And it's like, even now when I go home to Canada, I always, you know, pass through Syracuse. And quite honestly, there's so many people in the media, U.S. media, who work in Syracuse, right? Like, it doesn't matter. Marv Albert, Bob Costas, Sean McDonough, you name it. So we used to always laugh. Mike Greenberg had a great line at ESPN. When Syracuse faced Northwestern, it was like the Rose Bowl within the sports media, because everybody seems to have gone to Syracuse or Northwestern. So I don't want to say, like, you know, I'm the biggest Jim Boeheim fan ever, or if I know everything about, you know, the Orange. But, yeah, I would say nominally Syracuse, just for Leo Routens.
Why did that get such a big response from you, Julian?
Oh, yeah. I wonder why that got such a big response from me. Yeah. You know that list of people you could put me on that list, too, Mr. Virk?
Ah, Julian McKenzie, Syracuse guy. I did not know that. Okay,
graduate
great.
Degree 2017, baby.
Oh, dude, that's pretty sick. Okay. That's
yeah.
Awesome. Well, listen, as an Eagles fan, of course, McNabb, Syracuse guy. So
yes.
I had reason to cheer for them before, and I have reason to cheer for them now. I love it. J-Mac on the list.
Yes, sir. So I presume you have a bracket. Who do you have coming out on top? Or give us some upsets from what you remember of whatever bracket you put together. Also, when you put together a bracket, are you going off of vibes? Are you watching enough of the games to actually really put an opinion on things? Like, how do you go about it?
So this is the first year, I'm ashamed to say, I didn't put a bracket. And I would love to tell you, like, I have some sort of staunch reason why, like, I'm taking a stand against the NCAA or something. But honestly, it was sheer laziness. I wish I had a better reason. But at home, we're low on ink. We're low on printer paper. I didn't want to print one out at home. Normally, I print stuff out at work. I wasn't at work the last couple of days, so it was sheer sloth.
What?
But I did not print out a bracket to do it. But as I'm watching the games, like, I have the teams that I'm cheering for. So, of course, I love Izzo, so I'm cheering for Michigan State. Mm-hmm. I like North Carolina. They're playing right now. I like a good upset. So Duquesne winning earlier is good. But, no, I'm not. I'm going to be the only person right now you're going to be speaking to who is watching March Madness and is not clutching a piece of paper in a bracket right now. It's ridiculous. I really should, at the end of this conversation, I should go print my bracket out and fill one out. This is too humiliating that I'm in.
You don't have a scanner, Adnan?
I don't have a scanner.
MLB
no.
Network office has to have a printer. You
come
could have
on.
Used, right?
Like, what is
are
this?
Are they charging
no, Logan,
you per?
Right. MLB Network has a glorious printer. So you're right. Any printing I need to do, I do when I'm at work. So if I'm at home, I got to be honest. At home, it's a rudimentary printer. My wife tells me it's just for the kids and homework assignments. So I never print out anything at home. It's embarrassing.
That's
getting overruled by your children with wow, the printing hierarchy at the Virk household.
Like, imagine there's like a geography assignment that's due, and I have to print out my bracket, which is just my own amusement. We can't have that happen.
Oh, man. Have you been able to? We'll get to Major League Baseball stuff now. Have you been able to watch any of the Dodgers and Padres getting things going in Asia to start off the Major League Baseball season?
I wasn't able to watch yesterday. Just again, the time difference was 6:05 a.m. Eastern, which listen, I'm up early, but I'm busy getting the kids ready for school and this and that. But I'm up that early. So today I actually indulged a little bit. I watched like the seventh and the eighth innings. I saw Machado go deep 3-run shot. So it's just good to have baseball back. But it does feel weird. Like I was trying to explain to one of my kids, like, oh, it's opening day. I'm like, well, kind of. Like, does it count? I'm like, yeah. He goes, so it's opening day. I'm like, eh. Opening day is when all the teams play. This is just like a special it's an exhibition. No, it's a regular season game. It's just kind of a strange thing. So I got to be honest. It's cool to see the game being spread, and I always like seeing it being embraced. I'm sure for the players it's a cool experience, but I almost wish if it was being done, it was done closer to opening day. Like I wish it was like Tuesday or Wednesday of next week. You have the Seoul series Tuesday, Wednesday, and then Thursday's true opening day. Because I feel like it's a little odd. It's like having like it wouldn't quite be the Hall of Fame game of football, but you know what I mean? A Labor Day game, and also in a week and a half later, they're actually playing NFL games. It just feels a little spread out. Now, I get it. Obviously, you're traveling to a different country. It's, you know, across the globe, et cetera. But it just feels odd saying baseball's back at 6:05 a.m. Eastern in front of a crowd, by the way, a capacity crowd of 15,000. Like, there's one thing we know about baseball, and you can say this, but more than any other sport, the first day is always sacred, right? Like in basketball, opening on a court, it's great, right? In hockey, of course, everyone's happy. NFL, first Sunday, great. But in baseball, it's literally padded. Everyone knows opening day. Like everybody is optimistic. Everyone feels their team can do something. Everybody has reason to cheer. And even teams that don't draw well do great on opening day. Yeah. Like you look at the attendance after next Thursday, and I don't care who it is. The Pirates will draw 40,000, no question about it. Now, second day, fine, it dips to 20,000 or whatever it may be, but opening day is always special. So I'm really looking forward, quite honestly, to next Thursday. That's one of my favorite days of the year. But yeah, watched a little bit of the baseball today. The big takeaway is Yamamoto looked terrible. I mean,
one inning,
325 million dollars, and he threw 43 pitches, gave up 5 runs. He has a 45 ERA. I wish I could say that's the biggest problem right now facing the Dodgers, but of course with this whole Shohei Ohtani situation apparently being ripped off by his interpreters.
Oh, we'll get into that.
we'll do all that in a second. But yeah, I was happy just to actually see some baseball, and the Ohtani story though is overshadowing everything. Let's be honest.
And just going back to the starting the season early somewhere else. Now, Julian, you're correct me if I'm wrong. Wouldn't the NHL Global Series, wasn't that, they did that a bit before opening as well?
Yeah, but at least, so they, because they started in, I forget where in Europe, but also remember.
Sweden or Finland or something.
They had games in Sweden partway through the year, but I believe before the season started, they had a set of preseason games in Australia featuring the Kings and the Coyotes.
Yeah, and then a couple of years before the Flames went to China.
Yes.
Right? And those were preseason ones, and I get that. And they didn't love – it's obviously a big undertaking. But, yeah, I kind of – especially in baseball, right? I think hockey's a little different. And, you know, football, most teams are playing on opening week. But you're right, Adnan. There's something about opening day and everybody playing at the same time to open up the baseball season that just feels different, even if you are trying to grow the game.
Yeah, like I think if you're going to do it, I personally would prefer an exhibition. Now, I know that's a long way to go for what is a meaningless game, but I'm like, no, but the point really isn't about being one of 162. It's about growing the game. So if that's the situation, then fine. Go a week in advance and spend a few days there and shake hands and hope that more fans from Korea or wherever it may be will end up watching Major League Baseball. I want to be able to say Thursday, you know, I'm hosting from 1 to 4 o'clock Eastern. I want to be able to say that's the first of every single team is playing. But I won't be able to say that because the Dodgers and Padres have already played. And I love, by the way, how they changed the last day of the regular season, right? Mm-hmm. Because there was such drama back in 2011 when all those different playoff scenarios started colliding together at the last possible minute. I love the fact that last Sunday of the baseball season, every game is at 3:05. Mm-hmm. So you've got potentially anarchy unfolding at the same time. I would love that. And obviously for opening day, it depends on time zones, et cetera. But I love the fact that, you know, you can have the majority of games, 1 o'clock Eastern, 4 o'clock Eastern, a few at 7, and away we go.
You mentioned the Shohei Ohtani news with his interpreter accused of massive theft from Shohei to cover gambling debts. Can you sort of give us your understanding of this situation, Virk, and kind of how it's been laid out to you? Because I know there's some confusion about Shohei's involvement in this, and his interpreter has been fired by the Dodgers, and it's kind of a bit of a confusing scenario. So if someone hasn't heard this story, for our listeners, can you kind of tell us what you know about it?
For sure, Logo. I was as stunned as anybody. First off, Ipe seems like a great guy. Whenever I've been around Ohtani, which is not much, all-star game in Seattle, like Ipe's with him everywhere. He's ubiquitous. He's almost like a mascot, I would say, for Team Ohtani. You know, you can't say hi to Shohei without knowing who Ipe is. And even this past January was the Baseball Writers Association of America dinner, the BBWAA. Of course, that's where all the award winners get their prizes. And when Ohtani received his MVP, I was stunned. I almost pulled out my phone and wanted to record it. It's the first time I'd ever heard Shohei Ohtani speak English. Now, Ipe was there, but Ohtani spoke about, you know, maybe 30 seconds worth of a few sentences. And I was like, all right, my man does speak English. He just obviously feels more comfortable with his interpreter. So point is, they seem to have a very close relationship, and it's been like that ever since Ohtani's been in the bigs. And Ipe, of course, speaks fluent English, went to school, I believe, in Fullerton, Southern Cal. So, like, you know, he's been here a long, long time. When I see the story, I was like, oh, my God, that is terrible. And I naturally have to be skeptical about all things when it comes to professional athletes. So I quickly surmise this is one of three situations. The first situation would be the worst-case scenario, which is that Shohei Ohtani has a gambling problem and was getting Ipe to gamble for him. I'm hoping it's not that one. Number two would be that Ipe has a gambling problem, and Ohtani's close to him, and he said, hey, man, help me out here. Oh, my God, you owe millions of dollars. Ohtani gave him some money to try to help out his buddy, et cetera. The third option, which, let's be honest, would be the best possible situation for Major League Baseball, is that Ohtani was ripped off. But he was just completely robbed, that Ipe was a lone gunman theory, is a complete scoundrel, took advantage of their friendship relationship, and got in way too deep when it came to gambling and abused the system and abused his relationship. That would be the best case. Because let's be honest, fellas, this guy's a supernova in the sport. Everyone knows Ohtani is the biggest meal ticket in baseball. And the last thing I would ever want to have happen is to have this guy tarnished in any sort of matter. And gambling's the one thing. It's a third rail, man. You cannot do it. There's it's There's no equivocation about it. Now, allegedly, Ipe was only gambling on non-baseball, so that would help the optics of it. But if there's any situation that's found that they're gambling on baseball, like that's a massive, massive issue, especially if there's any sort of evidence that this could be tied to Ohtani. And there's only so much that Commissioner Rob Manfred can do. Listen, you'll do whatever you can to protect the sanctity of the game, the sacred nature of the game. But one thing I appreciate about Rob is it doesn't matter who it is, right? You guys know how much I love Tatis. Nando's my guy. Mm-hmm. He got popped. He gets suspended, period. You can't look the other way. It doesn't matter how big the superstar player is. So if Ohtani has any sort of malfeasance or any involvement, he's in trouble. And we know the way baseball frowns upon gambling. Quite frankly, as an employee of Major League Baseball, they give us, like, I have to take a course every year about how you cannot gamble on baseball. Like, it's a mandatory thing. It could not be more obvious. I go to every Major League Baseball stadium, and I still see it there. Now, it's murky because, of course, now so many of these TV networks are in bed with gambling, right? FanDuel right. sponsoring things, DraftKings sponsoring things. So it's a little bit murky. There was a show we had on called Bettors Eye, MLB Network. Now, my buddy Keith Arizuri did it with a guy named Matt Stryker. I only filled in a couple of times. But I said, you realize how ridiculous this is. Like, I cannot, and by the way, I don't gamble anyway. It's not that I care if one does, but I don't even gamble. But I have to host a show which is say, hey, I don't gamble. I'm prohibited by my job in Major League Baseball gambling. But if I were to gamble, sprinkle a little bit on Tristan McKenzie trying the first 5 innings. That's what a ridiculous situation, yeah. Right? This is what we're doing. It's just an odd spot to be in. But like I said, I hope Ohtani has zero involvement. I hope, unfortunately, as bad as it sounds, I hope we just got screwed by the wrong guy and they take care of it. But to be honest, guys, it's really sloppy. Like, the fact that Ipe talked to ESPN first and basically said, yeah, it's my fault, and Shohei lent me some money, and then later on it was a backtrack. It was Earl Shohei. He didn't know anything about it. I'm like that, it was sloppy, guys. Like, I mean, you got to have enough people around you, if you're Shohei Ohtani, that let's deal with the situation as best as we can. They did not handle it well, period. And that's why there's so many eyebrows being raised as to what exactly is going on. And let's also be honest, more stuff's going to come out, right? I'm sure people would hope that, yeah, okay, they took care of it, they fired the guy. But no. There's going to be the investigative reporters here. The Woodwards and Burns are going to find out exactly what happened and exactly what Ohtani did or did not know.
I mean, to your point about more eyebrows on this and eyeballs on this story, anytime I see Shohei Ohtani pop up on social media, there's that specific video of him in the Dodgers dugout where he just goes to Ipe and they have like a little bitty conversation. And half of those videos, it's someone quote tweeting saying, man, that's not how I would act if that man ripped me off of how much money or whatever.
Well,
gambling
he was
funds
with
and all
him
that.
And he was with him just the other day in Seoul. Like, he was yesterday with a guy.
That's what I'm referencing, right? So, like, a ton of people are analyzing this. Are you one of those people pulling out the Zapruder film and wondering, something's afoot here? What do you think?
Yeah, I haven't gone quite to that level, but that's why I give that option two of the three, which is that Ohtani knows his boy was in trouble and was trying to help him out here. And as a hell of a friend, it was like, fine, I will give you millions of dollars to get out of this thing. He's got $70 million, of course, $68 million deferred. But if you're super close to somebody, I mean, I want to spend someone else's money, but maybe you'll do great things for people if you really need them in help. So that's why I posit that second theory that Ohtani knew about what was happening and tried to help his buddy out and give him some money, but then and Ipe is maybe trying to help out Ohtani's image by saying, no, he didn't actually know anything. Wait, what? So, like, that's where it gets confusing. And, I really don't know. But I'm with you, Julian. People are looking at that and going, hang on a second. They were just together, like, the other day. Like, how – it literally happened like that. If they were together in Seoul and then, let's suppose, at 2 p.m. video is being posted, 5 p.m., by the way, this guy ripped you off for $5 million. Wait, what?
Nah, couldn't
if
be my friend.
That quickly, perhaps. Yeah, exactly.
Well,
I guess
part of this problem too is it's not like he was like, because there are legal ways to gamble, right? For any individual. Right. Now, Ipe still wouldn't, as an MLB employee, you're right, Verk, wouldn't be allowed to. But it was also who he was gambling with, right? Because the guy that he was doing it through, the bookmaker that he was doing it with, is the target of a federal investigation in the United States, right?
Yes. Excellent point, Logan. Yeah, I want to make that clear. You're right. So gambling, I don't know how it is in Canada, but in America, virtually every state you can gamble in, but California, you cannot. So in New York and New Jersey, I believe you can bet at will. Definitely New Jersey. I have enough friends who I know are degenerate gamblers. In Jersey, you can definitely gamble at will. I'm not totally sure about New York State, but California, you cannot.
Nope.
So if Ohtani wanted to put a little money on Duquesne over BYU, Mm-mm. technically in California, you cannot do that. So the way you do it, it sounds so old school, right? It sounds like Prohibition era. Like, I got to go call my bookie, but that's how you do it. And as you said, Logo, that's where the house of cards comes in, right? Like, if this was all the hush-hush, I'm sure people place illegal bets every single day. Okay, but the bookie is under investigation. That's what caused the problem. Oh, wait, who's been betting? Oh, my God. Wait, what? How does this tie to Ohtani? That's where it gets murky. And I'm telling you, that's where I get concerned, because the feds can't just look the other way. Like, they're going to do a thorough investigation. There's going to be subpoenas. There's going to be people on the record. And they're going to find out exactly what Ohtani did or didn't know.
Wait, hold on a second. I just want to go back to the brilliant explanation from my partner, Logan Gordon, here. So this only really came up because the bookie was under federal investigation. So my guy was basically saying, if I'm going down, everybody going down? Is this one of those situations? Do I have that right?
I don't know if he's giving people up or if they're just connecting the dots.
Just
now.
Connecting
he's
dots.
Been under investigation for a while.
Damn, he gave somebody
Boyer
up.
Is his name or something, I think.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, I don't think it's quite like a Victor Conti Balco thing, like I'm going to sing like a canary while I go down the ship. I think it's more of what Logan said, which is the connecting of the dots.
Okay.
Although that would be much more cinematic if it was much more cinematic. But he's like Al Capone. I'm going down. Everyone's going down with me. No, it's not quite like that.
It's that scene in American Gangster with Denzel Washington and Russell Crowe where they've got the whiteboard together and it's the criminal and the good guy working together, Virk, and they're taking down all of his cohorts with him, right?
Dang.
Exactly.
Yeah. Wanted to ask you about the Jays before we let you go. They make a big move. I mean, I guess it could be a big move. Former All-Star Santiago Espinal gets moved out, and sure looks like Ernie Clement, who is out of options with the Jays, now wins that middle infield utility role for this team going forward. And I guess that's the cost of doing business, Virk. It opens up some cap space for either, you know, a Votto or a Vogelbach, and in the same time, once you're out of options and you're worried about losing a guy, you've got to kind of make these moves, and the Jays forced to do one of those in the last 24 hours.
Yeah, I don't think it's ideal, Logan, to be honest. Like, I think they'd rather keep everybody as much as they can. Espinal's a guy who can hit a little bit of defense, but yeah, eventually you have to be deemed expendable, and so Clement will be the guy to get a chance, and I do look at the impact of it. Like you said, hopefully what that means is that Votto and Vogelbach are there providing some left-handed power for a team, which is clearly needed left-handed power. They've been starved for it. They've been begging for it. It's why me and many others said they should have signed Bellinger, especially once you see what a team-friendly deal the Cubs signed him to, 3 years and $80 million. But, yeah, that I think would be the ripple effect is that, because Votto's deal is, if he signs, because it's a minor league deal right now that he signed, but if he signs for opening day, it's 1 year, $2 million, up to $2 million in incentives as well. So, obviously, Joey's not going to be the type, I imagine, let's go hang out in AAA Buffalo. It's like, all right, either I've shown you enough that I'm going to be on the team or I'm not. So hopefully he will show enough within the next week and they say, yep, you're on the team, you made it, and it's a cool little storybook story, and hopefully he can provide some power for this team, and we'll see what happens moving forward. But it is really curious. An opening day a week away, the Blue Jays are not the it team, right? We were used to this the last couple of years. Everyone's like, all right, Toronto's getting closer. Now they're the sexy pick. No one's saying that. So I'm really curious what happens. Is everybody smart? Have they all wised up and go, nah, Jays, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. And they're going to be an 88, 89 win team, maybe a wild card. Or is this Jays going to be loaded? Are they going to win 100 games in the AL East? We'll find out a week from now. It's going to be cool.
I'm already caught up on Cinephile, but for any listeners out there, this week's episode, you're diving into a documentary on William Shatner.
Yeah, noted Canadian, by the way. I talked to the director. His name. Julian will appreciate this. The director, Alexander, not D-R, excuse me, D-R-E. So it's not Alexander, it's Alexandre. So he joins the phone, and I go, it's Alexander, right? He goes, just say Alexander. I go, okay. His last name is P-H-I. Yeah, his last name is P-H-I-L-L-I-P-P-E. So I go, Philip, right? Because going by the logic that I went Alexander, and he went Alexander. So I go, Philip? He goes, no, Philippe. I go, oh, okay. My guy's trying to have it both ways here. it really should be Alexander Philippe or Alexander Philip. And you're going to go with Alexander Philippe. So whatever, fine. We'll do whatever you want.
Some good franglais from this guy. He's going back and forth with both languages. But anyway.
Yeah, exactly. I love the way he's vacillating. But Shatner's an interesting guy, man. This movie's really cool story. I think it's Kickstarter, crowdfunding, one of these places. Basically, Philippe told me, he said, I think it cost $750,000 to make the documentary. And he said they made it, but then basically they opened up to fans. I said, you can put in $100 or $500 or $1,000 or $10,000. And then you can have equity in the movie, which is a hell of an idea. So it's going to be opening on screens tomorrow, which is William Shatner's 93rd birthday. And I hope it makes a ton of money because I think it's a really cool concept for documentarian to get his movie made and for people who are fans to invest in the movie and make some money out of it. But as far as the doc is concerned, 90 minutes, he of course talks about being Captain Kirk. He of course talks about being a Montreal guy, his relationship with his dad, love of sports, the way he really didn't fit in. But it's a very serious William Shatner. I was not expecting this side of it, maybe because he's 93. He's nearing the end, but he talks about, you know, his concerns about the environment. He talks about loneliness he's faced in his life and sadness. So it's a really cool doc. And I don't know if enough people appreciate the fact he is a fellow Canadian and a Montrealer. So, yeah, You Can Call Me Bill is the name of the documentary, William Shatner, His Life, coming out tomorrow.
You have Shatner guys, Julian? Were you a Star Trek or anything? Was that on your... radar?
Star Trek of his era kind of missed me. It was kind of born a little too late, but like I just have the universal respect for a guy who has been able to put on so many great movies and make appearances on TV shows, and I respect the actor. I'm trying to think of a project that I may have seen him in that I would like. I know I need to catch up on just a lot of those types of projects, but I'm trying to think of there's one show.
He was the Chancellor in Dodgeball, A True Underdog Story.
Yeah, that's a great movie, obviously.
That's what you think of when you think about Bill Shatner. That's what I think of.
I'm going to hate it. Once Adnan's off, that's what I'm going to remember. Like, oh, yeah, like I loved him in insert movie here. I hate that it's going to be that way, but like... Oh man, what's a good movie or a
Julian,
good show?
Maybe you're a Boston Legal guy. They were showing a lot of clips from.
He
Boston
was on Boston Legal.
Played Denny Crane on the show.
Yes, he was on Boston Legal. That would pop up on TV every now and again. He was in that.
He was in Airplane 2, wasn't he?
Sadly, they didn't make cut him. It's in the dock, but
I'm pretty sure he was.
Yeah.
Oh,
a long
man.
Time ago, but I'm pretty sure he was.
He was in a. Try to remember the episode of, oh my God, there's an episode of Fresh Prince of Bel-Air where he's a guest star in that, and there's this entire scene where it's Will, Carlton, and him surrounded by laughing gas, and it's just like 2 minutes of them just laughing the entire time. It's one of the funniest scenes in that series. It's a really random thing to remember, but like that obviously stands out for me.
I like it.
Virk, always appreciate the time, my man. Thanks for hopping on with us as always. Take care, eh?
Of course, guys. Last thought, I will immediately put it in a bracket because you shamed me into it. And only because we talk often about great broadcasters. First March Madness without Jim Nantz. I'm going to miss hearing Jim Nantz going to break with Bill Raftery, but listening to Brian Anderson, Brad Nesser, Krieger. But I'm telling you, man, Jim Nantz, March Madness, he was a beauty.
Take care, Virk. Thanks again for hopping on.
Thanks, boys. Take care.
Adnan Virk joining us down the Atlas Beach and Sports Bar guest hotline. Just a great chat with Adnan every single time he's on.
That last part is why I love him so much, because he cares about that broadcasting stuff just as much as I do, too. First tournament without Jim Nantz. Greg Gumbel also not taking part in coverage this year because of a family issue, too. So the coverage is obviously going to sound really different from what we're normally used to. Of course, for me, I still miss the days, and I feel like you'd be into this guy, too. Remember when Gus Johnson was still with CBS and was calling those March Madness games?
I love Gus.
Like, I still associate March Madness with him. And, thinking of games like the UCLA-Gonzaga game. This wasn't a March Madness game, but Isaiah Thomas calling the buzzer beater there. There was Ohio State game a couple years ago. He was calling, too. A lot of big moments over the last how many years at March Madness have been accentuated by Gus Johnson's presence. The George Mason run, he definitely got calls on that. Vermont beating Syracuse in the tournament how many years ago, too. Gus Johnson, can't speak enough about that guy.
We'll take a break, come back on the other side. We'll give you an update on all the March Madness action. Our guy Shan Virgie's all over it. He's going to jump on, tell us what brackets have been busted already, who's winning, and what's to come later on in the day. Plus, we'll take a look at an 11-game NHL schedule, including perhaps some fireworks that could happen in a game tonight. We'll let you know what that is when we come back here on Sportsnet 960, The Fan. Okay, wrapping up hour two with you on this Thursday. Logan and Julian along with you. Cam and Shan, outstanding producers on this Thursday. Lots going on. Major League Baseball regular season underway in Korea. 11 games on the NHL skid tonight. We'll get to that coming up in just a few moments, including a reunion between a couple of guys that don't like each other very much. Tell you who that is coming up in a little bit. And, of course, March Madness underway. Big time for everybody. If you got a bracket out there, it's likely been busted already. It's just that time of year. And we have somebody here at Sportsnet 960 that calls this his Christmas.
This is my Christmas. It's not even close. Like, you can talk about your favorite holiday, your favorite time of the year. This first day of March Madness is one of my favorite days. It keeps getting better. This tournament's amazing.
Yeah, the first weekend of March Madness.
It's unbelievable.
It's one of the best. There's something about the opening rounds of postseasons that are so good. But yeah, the first weekend of March Madness, right up there.
We've already had four games. There's three live, and there's nine left today.
So lots to get to. We'll do this throughout the tournament. It's busy right now, but yes, that's the voice of Shan Vergy, one of my producers here on Sportsnet 960, and it's time for him to get us caught up on all the action on this Thursday, the beginning of March Madness. Shan, what can you tell us about early results on this Thursday?
Started off Michigan State versus Mississippi State. That one was a toss-up. They always start with an 8-9. Nine seed ended up winning that one, Michigan State. And right off the bat, 43% of brackets busted.
Yeah, later.
That was a big one. And then next game was arguably even bigger. It was BYU versus Duquesne. Duquesne an 11 seed, BYU the 6 seed. I didn't really trust BYU. They can shoot the ball really well, but those teams are pretty streaky. Duquesne ended up winning that one 71-67. The 11 seed, that's a bracket busted. Next game, Creighton. Now, Creighton was my pick to win. First of all, I have to say, I'm still perfect. I have the best bracket in the world. It feels incredible. That won't last very long. But yeah, Creighton, it was a weird game. They were tied pretty much the whole way. Akron, the 14th seed in this one. That's where LeBron and Steph are from, by the way. Creighton ended up
same
winning
hospital
that one.
Too.
Yeah, it was the same hospital. That hospital breeds greatness. So if you want to have a baby that does great things in life and doesn't end up like myself or Cam, you can
whoa,
have them born in the
Akron. Whoa, Cam, are you going to take that?
That's crazy.
Are you going to take that?
That's a mad drive-by
that's
on
crazy.
Your producer, but I love it.
Caught straight.
We'll sort it off. Off air.
Yeah, we will. Next game, Arizona versus Long Beach State University. I don't think anyone really thought this one was close. If you had Long Beach State, you're wrong. They lost by 20 points
I
to Arizona.
Long Beach State.
Yeah, well, you're wrong. So that's probably not a great pick. Three games live right now, UNC versus Wagner. No one also expected this one to be close. UNC is up 30 points. It's 88-58. That one's wrapping up right now. Tight one right now, Illinois versus Morehead State, 3 versus 14. Illinois, the 3 seed. That one's at half. It is a one-point game, 39-38. So we could see some brackets busted. And then the last game that's live right now, South Carolina versus Oregon. That's another weird one. It's a 6 versus an 11, Oregon being the 11 in this one. But a lot of people have Oregon not just going to the round of 32, but even the Sweet 16. So interesting implications on that one. And, yeah, I wish everyone the best on their brackets. Maybe not Logan. Logan and I Logan didn't join my bracket group this year, so I'm not wishing the best for his bracket, but Julian did, so I'm wishing the best for him.
I was about to ask, like, yeah. Is there like a big Sportsnet 960 bracket thing?
I wouldn't call it big. Certainly there's quite a few people in it. It's
tried to get one going.
Yeah, I'm at the top right.
Yeah, I forgot to join that one. Are you in that one?
I am.
Okay, I forgot to join that
that's
one.
Okay.
I'm
next
sorry.
Year.
Next year.
Yeah, that's a look at March Madness right now. It's been fun so far. We haven't seen any close games at the end except for that Duquesne game, but no potential buzzer beaters yet, which I think everyone can agree is the best part of March Madness. And still waiting on to see that team that can build a magical run, because that happens quite often.
Yeah.
We've seen it with FAU had the chance last year, St. Peter's, when they had that guy Doug. I forget his last name, but his name was just Doug. Do you remember that?
Doug. Sure remember Doug.
Don't know his last name.
Yeah, the fact that you remember Doug, but not his last name, just goes to show how memorable he sure was.
Exactly. If you say Doug to me, I'm not thinking of anyone else except for that guy.
Doug Eddert.
Yeah, like
the guy you're looking for.
How many Dougs do you know?
I know two. I know two Dougs. Well, okay. I don't know this Doug, so I guess I know one Doug. I'm saying I know of two Dougs.
Okay.
I know of more Dougs.
Yeah, you could Google Dougs and know a lot, but yeah, that's not the point.
Yeah, it's true. I know one Doug in Bert. Good guy.
You see Dougie?
You
know a Dougie?
I know Dougie Hamilton.
I know how to Dougie.
You know how to Dougie, so no one needs to teach you?
No.
Should we get Logan to do that? We can put that on the socials.
No one needs to. That's
hey, Calgarians.
That's private.
Do you need to learn how to Dougie?
You don't
no let Logan let
that.
Logan know.
Boy,
Gordon
do we
teach.
Have a guy for you.
Let Logan Gordon teach him how to Dougie, Logan.
It's gonna cost them.
How much?
A lot.
Like a number.
Only Dougies?
Only the Dougie's the only move I know.
Can you stanky leg?
I can stanky leg.
Oh. Oh, okay.
I would pay to see that.
I would.
You'll have to.
I think you have to do the subscription. That's why I said only Dougies.
I'd be willing to chip in for this.
This has gone a direction that no one thought it was.
Wait, can we add this to one of the things we could do with the beer league game?
I don't know if there's gonna be time for that. We're so busy with other activities of the beer league game on Friday, Shane.
Our what other performer, Logan Gordon, hitting
that,
the stanky
not a
leg?
Chance. Oh, dude, that'd be there's cool. not enough.
You say this is going too far. Would you rather we go far on this or we go off on tarps for off for Steinberg?
Yeah,
that's for the DMs tomorrow. You're ruining the show tomorrow.
What do you mean for tomorrow? Are more people gonna do this?
Well, yeah, of course.
You guys think I won't start that again? I will.
Oh my god!
So remember, tarps off for Steinberg
and Sylvia
and Sylvia
and Sylvia. Don't forget.
Don't forget about Sylvia.
Anyway, yeah.
Thanks for that update, Chan. Appreciate that.
Hey, it's best time of the year. I'm here.
I always love March Madness because there's these places that I just don't believe are actual colleges every single year.
Like
Long Beach State doesn't sound like a place that's real.
That's my favorite story of March Madness. You know about the head coach, right?
What? Which head coach?
Okay, so the Long Beach State head coach.
Oh.
Don Momsen. I think that's his name. He
Doug?
Got, or no, it's not a Doug. It's a Dan. He had gotten, he was being told that he was not going to return as head coach for next season. And I think their record was at like 10-10 on the year. Like it was not going well for them. They end up rallying behind that, and they clinch a spot in the March Madness tournament. And his time at the tournament is over now. They lost today to Arizona. But the coach of that team, he was basically coaching for free. Like he's already done. But the fact that they rallied and made it to the March Madness, they did not expect them to get there. They were basically, it was gravy. So that was, at least entering the tournament, that was one of my favorite stories from March Madness. Like even like during the media availability, they're saying like, I don't care what you guys ask me because I'm basically here for free. Like it doesn't really matter what you guys ask me. Like I'm just chilling here.
Yeah, I always get to that point with March Madness. I'm just like, who the hell goes to Wagner? Like really, who is going? Like that's a real place where you guys are competing.
Oh my god,
who goes to Wagner?
Sorry, I just found an ESPN story on the Dan Monson guy, not Momsen, Monson guy, the athletic director for Long Beach State. The athletic director saying the timing of his decision to fire Dan Monson was done with the hope that it might trigger the exact run that led the team to the NCAA tournament. Now, if that is not a load of that I've ever heard, I'm sorry.
Bold decision.
Boo! You really thought your team was going to do that?
Maybe.
They lost like five games in a row, and then all of a sudden they were just going to make it to a tournament. Yeah, you're going to do it with that coach. Yeah, whatever. Anyway, I like that story, but also you're right. Like some of the other schools that are in there, like McNeese State.
What is a Duquesne?
That's a good question.
That's a good. I assume a lot of people are going to go in on Morehead State from Kentucky. I'm not sure why, but people seem to get a kick out of that school.
I don't know either. There's also a team called Drake.
Yes, there is a team called Drake.
And every year I'm like, well, they got to go far. Come on, their name is Drake. And this year I'm like, nope, it hasn't worked. I'm not doing it this year. So I faded Drake.
Which is funny because I believe before the University of Houston, the Cougars, they had a watch party. And guess who showed up to that watch party?
Yep.
Drake showed up at the University of Houston's watch party for the selection show. So he has his whole name in the tournament, and he'd much rather, I mean, he does have the ties to Houston, but he'd much rather support the number one seed that is the Houston Cougars.
Yeah, I don't think Drake's going far this year. So I would probably side with Houston. Drake's also, I think, a big enough name where I think he'll be okay whichever team he picks.
Also surprised he didn't go with Kentucky, too, because remember, he's him and John Calipari go back.
Yeah, remember when he had the warm-up with the Kentucky?
He's on the team. What do you mean? And he airballed.
Yeah. He looked a little out of place there. I don't know why.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe he can't shoot.
Away from March Madness, quickly, 11 games on the schedule tonight, fellas, to look forward to. Some games on Sportsnet. Also going to highlight at 5:30, puck drop in Florida between Nashville and the Florida Panthers. This one interesting because Jason Zucker, now a member of the Nashville Predators, this will be his first time reuniting with Nick Cousins. You'll remember back January, one of Cousins' many idiotic episodes this year involved him hitting Juuso Välimäki at the blue line while he's on his knees.
I remember that.
And Jason Zucker was like, nope, don't like that, don't like your tactics, and he just floored Cousins into the boards with a shoulder, and he got suspended for 3 games for doing so. Before Zucker got traded, the two teams did meet up, but Cousins wasn't in the lineup. This is the first time that these two will be up against each other, so I wonder if we'll see some fireworks between what looks like two playoff teams in the East and the West. Nashville's been on a ridiculous run, Julian. Florida's fighting for top spot in the conference and in the league. Do you think we get anything between Zucker and Cousins, or does everything stay calm tonight?
Do you see those two fighting each other? Maybe two other guys on the respective teams answering the call for one another, or maybe Cousins fighting somebody.
I don't see Cousins fighting anybody because he's a rat, and he doesn't generally stand up for himself.
You are not the first person to say that. There have been guys who have just said, like, he's just the guy who just doesn't answer to anything.
And that's
he's the most hated player in the league now.
So it's rubbed a lot of people the wrong way. I'd like to see him and Zucker settle it like that, but do I believe that Cousins is going to?
No.
No, I don't think he's going to.
No.
So. Original six matchup on Sportsnet 360 at 5 o'clock tonight. You got the Bruins and the Rangers. How about this? Second straight healthy scratch for Sean Couturier.
Yes.
Philly is in Carolina to take on the Hurricanes. It worked for them against the Maple Leafs, so John Tortorella not one to quickly back away from his own words. So again, no Couturier tonight for Philly. Islanders, Red Wings, you've got the Winnipeg Jets in New Jersey to take on the Devils. St. Louis taking on Ottawa. Sportsnet West has the Sabres and the Oilers from Edmonton at 7 o'clock. So if you want to get a look at one of Calgary's next opponents, you can check out Sportsnet West. Sportsnet 360 and the Sportsnet Television Network are going to cover the Chicago Blackhawks and Anaheim Ducks for an 8 o'clock puck drop. You've also got an all-Canadian matchup, Montreal in Vancouver, to take on the Canucks, Julian. And then
seems like that's the game where the Flames coaches are going to be watching tonight.
Yes, they'll be in Vancouver to get set for that matchup. And then you've got Seattle-Vegas at 8:30, and your night ends off. Tampa Bay's out on the West Coast. They are getting set to take on the San Jose Sharks. So a busy night of NHL hockey. 4 games tomorrow night, then 11 on Saturday, 10 on Sunday. We're in the busy season right now for NHL hockey.
Yeah, but like I'm already ready for the playoffs to start. We were talking about how good that first weekend of March Madness is. That first round of the Stanley Cup playoffs, like just for me, that's when obviously working, covering hockey, like my interest in hockey is present all the time, but it ramps up again whether the team I'm covering is in or not during the first round of that of the playoffs, just because of all the games that are playing, all the teams, all the different matchups. Like right now, I'm just kind of scrolling through the standings and trying to figure out who could play who, who's matched up to do to play wherever. Like, I mean, you look at the top of some of these divisions, they still need to figure out who's going to win those in order to determine some of those matchups, let alone the wild card chases in each conference. Like, I'm ready to fast forward through these next 14, 15 games. We have a lot to get to with the Flames with regards to Dustin Wolf and how some of these other guys will play. And I'm sure once that's through, once they're, if it gets to that point where they don't make the playoffs, then you start thinking about the offseason and the draft. But they still are not mathematically eliminated, and all it takes is just a really good week and then some other teams to lose ground, and maybe entering that final month of the year, we're talking about the Flames in one last gasp for a playoff spot, but we have to wait and see.
It's going to be interesting. The East, not quite as locked down right now as the West is. As we look at things today, The Eastern Conference wild card spots locked down by Tampa and Detroit. Detroit just a point up on Washington with one game in hand. The Capitals all of a sudden making this late season push for a playoff
spot. The Capitals
spot.
Were in a playoff spot when they beat the Flames earlier this week. Like that's how
weird.
Tight it has been. Like Tampa Bay, they won four in a row. They're keeping themselves up there. But Detroit was in a free fall mode. They've only got two wins in their last 10 games. The Capitals and the Islanders are hanging around too. Even the Sabres. I mean,
yeah, five points back is not the end of the
It's not the end of the
tough,
world,
but
like they're still hanging around. They've gotten a few results that have helped them up, but like it's a really interesting time. And I mean, the Philadelphia Flyers, and you mentioned Sean Couturier earlier, 78 points, third in the Metropolitan Division. I mean, they still have to fend off a Washington or New York Islanders to stay in that spot. But even them, like, what a year it's been for them. Just they're playing above expectations in a playoff spot. And all the while, they have to deal with John Tortorella and the Cutter Gauthier situation. And now the Sean Couturier situation, which, I don't know, the biggest takeaway for me, I get it. Like, he's a guy who treats everyone the same. Just a reminder that not every athlete likes that thinking.
And what a win for Los Angeles last night. 6-0 over the Minnesota Wild.
Yep.
Putting the pressure on the Vegas Golden Knights. There was a no-win situation for Vegas. They now are 4 points behind LA for the last spot in the Pacific Division, and Minnesota's still on their tail, 3 points back. St. Louis, 4 points back of Vegas for that final wild card spot. Julian, we talked about this a bit yesterday because, oh boy, Vegas makes all those ads and misses the playoffs.
It's funny, like, you look at Vegas, you're like, oh man, like, that's going to be tough for them, but you can. There are 31 other NHL franchises and their fan bases that are going to love that.
They sure would.
Where do you stand on Vegas? Do you like Vegas? Do you want them to suffer? I mean, not like as like a fan, obviously. I mean, just
like physically suffer.
I mean,
pain. Like, do I want them to be inflicted painfully?
I should have probably worded it a little bit differently.
Julian,
that's
not cool, man.
No, yeah, I don't want
Julian.
Anyone to suffer. I don't wish
get
any
out
ill
Vegas,
will to anybody.
Man. Come on.
Okay.
You're going to get radioed for that.
Oh, my God. No! Okay. Where do you stand on Vegas as a team?
You know what? I can't argue with what they've done. Don't give me the LTIR thing, because if your team could do it, they would.
That basically answers my question.
Your GM would do it.
You don't even need to add anything else after that response, because so many people's hatred of Vegas has so much to do with this LTIR stuff. And the fact that that's your viewpoint, you almost don't need to say anything else. You almost don't. Just like me in the fact that everyone has this available to them.
Chicago did it. The Lightning did it. And believe me, that's the biggest point I can make. If your GM was in the spot,
he'd do it.
He would do it. He wouldn't even think twice about doing it. He absolutely would do it.
If Austin Matthews was hurt,
I respect the team that goes all in. I'm sorry, I do.
Yeah, they do.
I respect the GM, whether or not they go through hell for 5 years because they have no prospects and no draft picks. I respect a team that says, hey, we're in a Stanley Cup window. Banners fly forever. At the end of the day, if we do go through a tough period in Vegas, the guy, you just point up to the rafters and go, that's what it was for. So,
hell yeah. Any of these big teams, any big players, I was about to mention Austin Matthews as an example. Because if the Leafs were going through the same thing, Brad Tree Living would do the exact same thing that Kelly McCrimmon is doing in Vegas or so many other markets.
Yeah,
it's just like,
don't act like your GM would be on some sort of high horse that wouldn't do it, because they would.
Don't hate the GM. Hate the salary cap.
Yeah, hate the rule if you want
to. Hate the rule.
Your team would do it, too. He's Julian McKenzie. I'm Logan Gordon. Julian, of course, contributor here on Sportsnet 960 and also covering the Flames for The Athletic. Appreciate you, J-Mac. We'll be back at it tomorrow on a Friday. Looking forward to it.
Yes, sir.
Beer League game tomorrow to get excited about, and going to be a busy one as we get set for the Flames and the Vancouver Canucks on Saturday. Have yourselves a great Thursday. Thanks to Cam and Shan for their great work today. Really appreciate that, guys. Back tomorrow for a Friday show, including the Friday DMs. You don't want to miss it. If you did miss anything on the show today, check us out on the podcast, Google, Amazon, Spotify, or your favorite pod catcher. Dipper and Bourne are next. Flames Talk with Steinberg coming up tonight with Wes Gilbertson. You don't want to miss it. Have yourself a great afternoon. For Julian, Cam, and Shan, I'm Logan. This has been Sportsnet Today on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.